Welcome, PLO from the Department of Mineral Resources. The committee staff, our dear friends who don't need to be invited, are here. I can see there are even more than anyone who is present in the committee by attendance. You are welcome. You will enjoy all the privileges that are accorded to you. The committee staff and anyone that I might have missed in the presence amongst us. I was saying that we have not seen Nkosi Mandela, and when this time he comes back, there is rain in Cape Town. So I said probably he must no longer be Israel Valley, he must be Dying Fool. he brings rain. I'm sure he's from the African Union. Okay. Today we are dealing with two issues. Mainly is the issue of the processes with regards to the inquiry, oversight. The second one will be the minutes of the last meeting that we held, and hopefully we will make other inputs, obviously, when we deal with the main item. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, honorable members and the guests. I've got apologies from Advocate Schmidt and Mr. Khawula.
Okay. Being the case as it may, the little bit of time that we delayed, we were expecting Parliament's legal services, and we are told that they are still looking for them within the corridors of Parliament. Probably they are overworked. I don't know about payment, whether they are overpaid or underpaid. I've seen something in Canadian doctors that went on strike because they were paid too much, and therefore said they don't need that money, it's too much for them. But fortunately, they were saying they pledged that money in solidarity with the nurses and the clerks. So I hope it's not overpaid, underpaid, and overworked. But we seem to have a problem, I must say, now with the legal advice or legal services. We will then, for someone that we've given also to undertake this work, if no other matter, ask Mr. Guyama to now present what is the way forward, and then we will then deal with the processes after that. In that case, is that agreed?
Agreed to, Chair.
Okay. I nearly said Dr. Weyam. Mr. Weyam.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Morning, Chair. Morning, honorable members.
Don't be afraid. Bring this thing closer to you. I can see that.
What I will be doing, I will be making just a introductory briefing to this document, which is a preliminary draft terms of references for the proposed inquiry. So the document has got five sections. Section A deals with the background, which is basically the genesis of the inquiry. On October 14, 2016, the former public protector, Advocate Chulima Donzoela, released the state of capture report, which contained prima facie findings into possible governance failures and maladministration within the Department of Mineral Resources, with special reference to the Honorable former Minister Museveni Zwane. I'll then move to Section B. Section B of the document draws our attention to the rules of National Assembly, which is namely National Assembly Rule 227, Subsection 1B, and National Assembly Rule 227, Subsection 1C, which empower the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources to initiate an inquiry into alleged government failures and maladministration issues within the DMR. I'll then move to page 2 on the inquiry. How the actual inquiry came about, that is C. On the 21st of February, the committee held a meeting to continue questioning Honorable Zwane on allegations against him pertaining to state capture. However, Honorable Zwane tendered an apology and could not attend. Therefore, the committee agreed that the allegations of state capture are serious and therefore resolved to institute an inquiry to further and more fully consider the matter in line with the mandate of Parliament as articulated in Section 55 of the Constitution, read with Rule 167 of the National Assembly. I'll then move to Section D, which is the terms of reference. So these are the proposed terms of reference by the legal department. The committee will inquire into alleged government failures and maladministration issues within the Department of Mineral Resources. The inquiry will take form of question and answer sessions during which Honorable Zwane, as previous Minister of the DMR, as well as any other relevant person will be required to testify before the committee. The committee will focus inter alia on the following issues and matter related thereto. The first issue, the role of Honorable Zwane and the DMR in facilitating the sale of the Optimum Coal Mine to Takeda Exploration and Resources. Alleged non-compliance with the Public Finance Management Act of 1999, resulting in fruitless and wasteful expenditure relating to travel arrangements made by the DMR for Honorable Zwane. 3. Alleged breach by Honorable Zwane of Section 96, Subsection 2 of the Constitution and Section 2 of the Executive Members Ethics Act 82 of 1988 as regards to conflict of interest. 4. The handling of mining rehabilitation funds by the DMR and alleged non-compliance in respect thereof with the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act 2000 28 of 2002, the National Environment Management Act 107 of 1998, and the Income Tax Act 58 of 1962. 5. Whether the appointment and dismissal of officials in the DMR were subject to any external undue influence, including in particular the dismissal of the Mpumalanga regional manager, allegedly without sufficient cause. I'll then move to the last section of the brief, which is procedure. The committee shall conduct the inquiry as follows. Witnesses identified by the committee shall be subpoenaed to attend at a designated time and place as provided for in section 14 subsection 2b of the powers, privileges and immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act number 4 of 2004. Witnesses will be afforded the opportunity to make written submissions for consideration, but such submission shall not, unless with the approval of the committee, absolve a witness from attending the inquiry in person and answering questions put to them. Witnesses will be permitted to be accompanied by legal representatives, but such representatives shall not answer questions on behalf of a witness. Witnesses will not be allowed to cross-examine other witnesses, but must be afforded an opportunity to make representations on the draft committee report before it is adopted and tabled in the National Assembly. The principle of natural justice shall apply to proceedings of the inquiry. Lastly, after deliberating on the issues, but before the committee tables its report in the National Assembly, witnesses will be given a further opportunity to make representations on the committee's draft report, including its findings and recommendations, to the extent that they are affected by it. The committee must first consider any representations before proceeding to adopt its report. Thank you.
Okay. I thought you were going to put a disclaimer, but I assume you are owning up. No, you let it go. Let me rescue you. I think it's important just to alert the members that the draft, in as much as Mr. Zayama, that's why I was saying, let me at least save him before they would say saved by the bell. This is a draft that was done in amendment to what they had prepared by the legal services. So it's not his document. It's what legal services is. And the problem is that legal services is not here. But I don't think as members we can't deliberate on the issues, because I'm sure we now have an experience that having deliberated, they will guide us what is legal and what is not legal. They can't guide you on what decision or course of action you have to take. They can just advise on what is legal and how legal is that. I know sometimes this matter, and I've said to many people, I always try to take myself out of any debate and not get emotionally attached to it, so that whatever deliberations that we have, they are in the best interest of the country, but also they are in the best interest of everyone from this committee. We come a long way, but I don't want to lay a foundation with regards to this. Let me, before I I'm trying to look for a better word of English. I don't want to lead members. Yeah, it's better. If there is an area where myself I need clarity and discussion, but I can just say this one upfront. My duty as a chairperson is not to take decisions. I can't. And I will never do that. Decisions must be taken by committee members. My duty is to facilitate discussions in the committee. One. Two, my duty is to guide the committee. Three, my duty is to advise the committee where I think it needs to be advised. So every member and any member is free. But I also have a duty in that guidance to sense and make a summary of what we say, of which, regrettable, I will have to own up even if I don't agree. That is the interesting part. Any chairperson doesn't have to have your word to be the final one. The word must be a word that all of us as a committee. But I think I must make this appeal that when we debate some of these issues, I think I always say maybe I should have chosen another path. I always say I believe you can say something without ruffling each other badly. The reason we are called honorable members is because we should be an example on how do we relate to one another. Sometimes I feel when members are just in Khoisan where I grew up, we are told imbeko, simple thing, imbeko. That's why I'm saying maybe I should have joined you and be one of the headmen in my village so that I deal with that. Differing doesn't mean you must disrespect one another. I always say we can say the same point, but probably the reason the other person won't listen is the manner in which you put your point. So I'm just appealing that we wouldn't be here if we're all thinking the same way. You see? Sometimes you must be proud that someone who was ignorant has been put. But if you say someone who was ignorant and say he's ignorant, he's not going to listen to you. So I'm just saying the level in which we engage, it has to be at that level because we all want to find solutions. And we all want to move forward. No one should have views that he feels that they are not accommodated or is being undermined. The reason I was saying also is to guide and to direct the meeting. I also always avoid and say, I don't want to come and deal with a matter here. And we end up deviating, dealing with another matter that is completely not, because we now deal with each other on the basis of what is the attitude that I have against so and so. So if members feel that that is not what I'm doing, you are allowed to say, no, Chair, this is not how I think. But I don't want to end up having people dealing with a completely side issue when we've got a task. We've got a task at hand. And I always say to honorable members, we have to perform our duties. None of us should feel... And when I always, there's one last thing I must say. One of the things I learned in a meeting is that no one possesses monopoly wisdom. You come to a meeting, you ask questions, we can all ask questions. We are here to ask questions but also state our feelings. Sometimes I feel when people come to a meeting, they want to think that somebody has got answers. You will just come and say, but what if this, what if this? Yes, it's correct to ask a question, but surely behind that question there is a thinking of what could be. We want to hear all those views that are also, even if they go with questions. Having said so, honorable members, I have not dealt with the issue deliberately. This time around, let me test you and leave it to you, and then I will express my views, or if I feel that probably we may not be considering what is at hand, I will express my views. But this is what is presented to us. The take is on you.
Let me fold my arms. Honorable Lorima, any other take? Honorable Piginini? Okay. Honorable Matala?
Mr. Chair, this does seem to cover most of the bases. One small comment on the terms of reference. Point 10A. It reads the role of Honourable Zwane and the DMR in facilitating the sale of the Optimum coal mine. Can we change that possibly to all Glencore assets? Because if you remember, it was not just Optimum, it was also Kornfontein and the Richards Bay export allocation.
So 10A? Oh, okay.
10A, yeah.
Okay.
So instead of saying the Optimum coal mine, say all Glencore assets, if that's okay. The second thing, and I'm sure you'll tell me I'm jumping the gun here, but obviously I'm imagine that next thing on the program we're going to talk about logistics and timelines.
We're dealing with the whole matter. So you are not jumping. You are walking, maybe fast. Okay? Honorable beginning?
No, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, from the last meeting that we had on the 21st, we raise basis for the formation of this document. Now I will say that it is suffice to say that the issue that we raised from that meeting on the 21st has been taken care of by this document. Because our view, we think that any transaction that has taken place has to be fair and allow the process to take its course until to the latter. So we support the document because it's formulated on our basis as this committee from the last meeting of the 21st. Thank you very much.
Honorable Matan.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, colleagues. Look, We had some meetings before the 21st, the committee meeting, where the former Honorable Minister Zwane was present. A number of issues were raised in those particular meetings, and that we have dealt with them as a committee. And members felt that they haven't dealt with this matter seriously to their satisfactions. And we felt that we must invite the Honorable Minister again for the same issues raised by committee members. It was unfortunate by then the former minister had some other things to do for government. That's why there were some apologies here. Our last meeting, of course, we then agree that there must be these processes. That's why there is this document. And from that side, we then agreed that we must have this meeting by today. And to me, Chair, I don't see where we'll be going, because seemingly we might be going in a merry-go-round. We're dealing with something that the former minister is no longer the minister, there is a new minister. I'm not quite sure as to whether maybe the Lord does allows, even if you have resigned or we are no longer the minister, we are no longer in charge, you can be called to account. It will be clarified by some legal opinion. It's unfortunate. Those who are legal opinions are not here, but we have invited them. But I think in the 20, 30 minutes time, they might appear before we are done with this meeting. The reason why I'm raising this thing, Honorable Chair, is that I'm a little bit confused, because one, the president has appointed the judicial commission to deal with this report, the state capture report that was released by the former advocate Thulima Donsel. That commission is looking on the whole report that was released by the dead advocate Matonza. Secondly, the hawks are on the issues. You'd remember, you saw it on a number of occasions on your national television. Number of people who are involved, who have been mentioned by the state capture report. They've been arrested, some of them. Some of them have appeared in courts of South Africa. There are law enforcement agencies also that are dealing with the matter. And to my surprise, Chair, what is it that we want to achieve here as a committee? Because those structures appointed by the President of South Africa are in place. Are in place because of the release of the report of the former advocate Thulima Donsel. So to me, Chair, I don't see us going forward. We are going in seconds. Unless otherwise there is another view that can convince me to say, no, let's not end up this meeting because of those reports, but this is how we can go on the other way. But for now, Chair, maybe I might be clarified with some legal opinions of this matter. Thank you very much.
Okay. Maybe I should have explained. No, don't worry. Honorable my part. The former public protector is still an advocate. He's not a former advocate. She is a former public protector. So that we are not interpreted to have said she is a former advocate. She is still an advocate.
Yeah.
Honorable members, I see. Maybe so that we can help. Can I start and assist? Try and assist? Because I'm worried even about the legal advice, whether is it talking to what we're supposed to be doing in the first place. Can I just, probably it's important just to start from scratch. There is a letter written by the House Chairperson, Honorable Frolic, on the 20th of June.
so that maybe we understand. I'm saying maybe even the brief to the legal services may not have been a correct one. This letter, which is instructive, this is what it says. And I want us to deal with the heading first. Whether the matter is in the heading or is on the instruction. The heading says allegation of state capture in organs of state. Now, the overriding word here is that in organs of state. That's what the heading. That's why I would have loved the legal services to be here. The second part, well, this one is speculator, I must say, to the person. It says, I am sure that you are aware. So it says, I am sure that you are aware. But it says, of numerous allegations of state capture that have appeared in the media in recent week. Now, that is the first part. So it has not talked about the minister. Then when it goes, it then says some, that becomes the overriding word, some of these allegations involve the Minister of Mineral Resources. So it's two-pronged. There is a part that says in what you deal with, some of it involves, but there is another chunk that may not, I assume. Now, here is an overriding word again. It says, that's why I think the legal people would have helped us. It says, I would like to request. Now here is this. Your committee, I want to request that your committee investigate. The overriding word, investigate. The allegations within the parameters of the rules and report the findings where applicable to the National Assembly as a matter of agency. That's the original letter. And so when you read it now, I must say, going with the verse, it doesn't only talk about the minister. It talks about organs of state. And the overriding word is investigation. I won't read the total of the response of the chairperson. But just one thing on the response of the chairperson, which was, again, on the 22nd of June. The response of the chairperson at the end, it says, we will await your guidance and advice on how to handle the process in the meantime in light of the situation outlined above. Remember, or maybe let me start there, on the actual, we gave reasons with an oversight in Northwest and so forth, that was already scheduled. We then said, this therefore means we can only attend to the matter in our first meeting post this constituency period, except if special arrangements could be made by the Parliament. Without prejudicing the process, I would highly appreciate it if you could assist with the terms of reference to for ease of reference and guidance to the committee in execution of such tasks. That is 22nd. I don't want us to go back to the minutes because it's going to be another tedious process. We had a meeting, honorable members will remember, the hot one, first hot meeting. I remember one member even said, my sire, ask from you when I go, want to go outside and so forth. It was a very heated meeting. debating whether it's quasi-judiciary or not, or what. In that meeting, we finally agreed that let's write back to the House Chair for guidance. Remember, what was the debate then? The discussion mainly was whether you involve the minister, you ask minister. The argument was that no, others, we felt that no, why are you calling the minister? If you're calling the minister, you want to do a cover-up, whatever. There was a long debate. Then there was an issue that says, then let's go for an investigation. Then the argument was that no, but why an investigation is quasi? No, not us to go to that debate. Finally, we wrote to the House Chair. I think it was on the 18th of August. His response, because we wanted to know how to proceed. And I remember even that day, thanks to the legal services, I brought the legal service, I forget the lady. And even when we were in agreement, we needed to get her to say it, even when we were almost in agreement. The issue was that in summary, this is what this thing says, before you do any investigation, first call the member of the executive concerned. Give him a fair opportunity to present, and then you do your work after that. I think it is here. The sources of authority of the National Assembly is contained in Rule 2 and is primarily derived from the Constitution of the Republic. Parliament is, among other, legally bound and empowered to exercise oversight over the executive. Now, the overriding, which is why before we could do anything, was that part of this is what the House Chair also says. The relevant member of the executive must be provided with an opportunity and platform to respond and, where possible, clarify allegations in the public domain. So the starting point was that before you do what you are instructed to do, call the member of the executive to get clarity, which is what we did. But the member of the executive, given that opportunity, I think so that we are consistent, members in Good Hope, at the Good Hope Center, said at the exhaustion of the day, not of the questions, they have not asked the questions that they would have wanted to ask. Not that the member of the executive was not given a question. It was done, but members felt that they still want to ask questions. In the deliberations that we had last time when we arrived, we said we have to move to the next stage. And with the apologies and the other processes, it became clear that members said, by the way, if you go the other process, which is now the one that says you must investigate, I'm saying this so that in the final analysis, the actual answer is not whether you ask the member of the executive or not. The answer will be, did you investigate? That is the answer finally you'll have to ask. And in your investigation, what did you find? So the onus are not on the member of the... That's why I wanted to get the legal services. That is not on the member of the executive. The onus are on members of parliament as committee members. Have you done that? What are your findings? Now, the question then comes in, if you conduct that investigation, which we said might sound more like a very strong word, but it's there, we can't hide, we can't run away, it's there. But a committee oversight inquiry is not accusatory, is about fact-finding mainly, and then report on your findings. What is it that you think you have found? Now, I can say That's why I said I didn't want to guide members. Members can discuss it themselves. I did approach the House Chair, and I did say, but the member is no longer a member of the executive. He said, no, you have not done your work. Go and conduct your work and come back and report. Because you have, may check the correct term, you are conducting that inquiry on the tenure in office, not on the individual. So on the tenure in office. That was the answer that he gave. So no, even if you leave tomorrow, you are responsible for any executive decisions that might have taken place during your tenure of office. That is what I think I can clarify. Now, the issue then is that, having done so, we then left with, for an example, the other outfit, we could not have even invited the member. What would we have done? So the question of inviting the member of the executive, in terms of the understanding, was to do the KTC before you start any other process. Invite him or her to get a fair opportunity first. That is how I understood. Now, the reason then I'm saying, sometimes when I look at this legal document, I'm just asking myself, is it responding to the original instruction or the original directive? And it would have been nice then if they were here, so that we don't do things and then down the line, I must ask, members must also ask me, help me, that what happens in the event there are other issues. So I just thought I must just give that background, so that we can get clarity even amongst ourselves. But in a nutshell, honourable members, the first part was what we were expected to do. I remember that day when we said the minister must come. Then we said, no, you are hurrying at things. The minister had said he's coming, he will just be in a cabinet committee meeting, when we meet him he'll be here. We then postponed and said, let's do the issue of invitation in a proper way, which we did finally. So I thought I must give that background. Before again, I'm sorry to problematize this matter. Okay? Honorable Mandela?
Thank you, Chair. May I have the letter from the House Chair, Honorable Frolic, just to try and assist us, Honorable Chair. I think first and foremost, we must admit, Honorable Members, that we're dealing with numerous allegations in the media. So that's the first point of departure. Unlike the other committees like Enterprise that's dealing directly with ESCOM, there's no entity that we are dealing with that is within the scope of the department. It's not the Council of Geoscience, it's not MINTEC, it's none of the state organs that are related to mineral resources, as it were. So we have to ask the question, the allegations that are out there, is there an issue that is directly pertaining to mineral resources? And I'm happy, Honorable Chair, that Honorable Lorimer has raised the issue of optimum mine to be actually all Glencore assets. Is that the only issue we are to explore and speak about, because it directly speaks to our mandate, that being mineral resources? We have to really outline what is out there that speaks directly to our core mandate as the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources. Zoom into that and ask the questions that are relevant to that. I feel the first session we had and had an opportunity to sponsor questions to the minister became a frivolous exercise because we were just asking issues that are just in the media that are not even relevant to our core mandate. Flight number that you were on coming back from Switzerland, what did it have to do with mineral resources at the end of the day? I don't think someone's traveling itinerary is of our interest, but maladministration that has been adhered to in terms of our core mandate being mineral resources is something that we should be looking into. And I'd like us, first and foremost, Honorable Chair, to identify what are these issues that we have to investigate. Clearly, thus far, the only thing that I could be able to pick up and come out with is the issue of Optimum Mine and the total Glencore assets. But can we explore others? Is there anything else beyond that? Because if we exhaust that, does that mean our work is concluded? That is paramount, Honorable Chair, for us to be able to cover and answer those issues. But then this matter, Honorable Chair, also finds itself in other platforms. The President has instituted a judicial inquiry which is dealing into the entire issue of state capture. Isn't that therefore implying that it takes precedence over all other issues? So shouldn't we be leaving this matter to be attended at that level? I think we ought to be answering that question as well and dealing with that. But in terms of investigations that are alluded here, we as a committee, are we truly empowered to lead an investigation on an executive, or should we be able to implore a leading investigator on this issue to lead the processes so that we can be able to tease out the issues that are coming out there? I think we need to deal with the work frame as to how we are approaching this matter before we dwell further. But I wanted, out of the terms of reference that have been submitted here, Honorable Chair, to deal with 10E that speaks to appointments and dismissals of officials. I do believe that appointments and dismissals are within the powers of the executive. And in that case, there is also a new minister who must be able to deal with these issues. But the staff themselves have platforms of contesting issues of unfair dismissals through CCMA and labor courts. And I don't think that issue ought to be an issue that we are consuming the time of the Portfolio Committee into looking into, because there are other structures that can be able to adequately deal with these matters. For me, what is of paramount, Honorable Chair, the committee has to answer what are the allegations that talk directly to our mandate, and if we have identified those issues, what is the approach in terms of investigating that? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Lauren.
If I can just begin by giving my broad perspective of what we need to do. Our duty as a portfolio committee, as I see it, is to find out what went wrong and to ensure that it doesn't happen again. So this pertains not just to an individual, the former minister, but to everybody in the DMR who might have been involved in things that they were not supposed to be involved in. So we need to look at a number of instances where the department failed to perform. or performed incorrectly. So did they, for example, issue safety orders against Glencore mines as a means of pressuring Glencore into selling Optimum and the other mines? Did the department refuse to consent to the sale of Optimum to the Endelweni consortium and only allow the sale to go ahead to the Guptas? Were officials appointed to the department or shifted within the department or moved out of the department in order that the Gupta-owned companies were advantaged in one way or another? Was pressure put on any other coal mining companies to the same end, so that they would be disadvantaged and Gupta-owned companies would be advantaged? So it's not just about an individual. It's about the failure of the entire system and whether or not that happened. And I think we need to look at the whole thing. Otherwise, people are going to look at us and say, you haven't dealt with what you're supposed to deal with.
Can I start at the end of where you ended, Honorable Larim? No, I don't want us to lose the content. I understand what you say, just for the benefit of the committee, so that we are not seen or perceived to be prejudicing the process that we are going to embark on. I don't have a problem. All of us have got different knowledge. I don't want this thing to be reduced. Hey, we knew. There is no state capture here. There is a Gupta investigation. I'm just saying, can we say external or whatever influence or to favor specific people who may have had more influence? Obviously, if it comes through to be the Guptas, then that's okay. I don't think it's a problem. But the problem is that before we investigate, we should not be seen as if we already prejudged what will be the outcome. But if the outcome comes in the way that you say, so be it. So for us, we'll investigate because, and that's the point I was asking, we are investigating whether has there been capture of state organs by external influences. So that is the point. Now it's going to go back to the point then that I raised. the mechanics of doing so. I wanted to suggest from the point that Honorable Mandela was coming from. You know, sometimes when part of your responsibility as leadership and as public representatives is to listen even if you don't agree. The mere fact that people, that's why I also had to explain this process, because I could sense there was a general feeling outside there that we were conducting an investigation or we're doing an inquiry. We were not doing an inquiry to the minister. We were giving courtesy to him to say, we are going to go to a certain process. Do you have any things that you want to share with this committee before we go the other route? I think we've been fair. We gave him enough chance. It doesn't mean when you go to a committee, I always prefer to use these words simultaneously, not to say an oversight, nor say a committee. A committee oversight inquiry. When you go through the committee oversight inquiry, it doesn't mean the minister now won't come here, or former minister, let me put it like that. The former minister won't come, because when we start the actual process of an inquiry, it is then under oath. And each one will then follow the route, what you call it, something similar to criminal procedures, because you must then ask to get the answers that you need, or to derive at a point that the witness you are asking is no longer capable to give any answer, and therefore it is subject to your own opinion, how you conclude on the, reliability and non-reliability of the information that is given. So my understanding is that the first thing. But from what Honorable Mandela says, I would have said, even that issue, the only worry I have, I must be honest with 10.E, I may not have a problem with the hiring, because it's our duty to see whether it was externally influenced. But Can I request we take out the latter part that makes reference to a specific official? We just talk about broadly the point, I think, in the context of what Honorable Lorima, whether the question of the hiring and firing is something that is done in the best interest without any external influence. That's the only thing that I thought we can. But I think Honorable Mandela is correct. To employ and disemploy, it's a responsibility. But the manner in which it's being done, it's what we must see is within the rules. Now, let me go to the biggest problem, the issue then that I said, if legal services was here, I would have asked. And I said, I give answer, I ask questions, I tell people what's my feeling. They have got a right to say what is their feeling or disagree with my feeling. My first question is that if as honorable members we don't want to be seen to be so involved. For instance, there is a question that arises, but very silently. Is Ayanda, myself, and Dr. Nicole, and, well, exclude me? Because if that information arrives to me, can I make a determination of how relevant it is? Or can we sit here as a committee and say, so-and-so said, I'm coming with this, and let's sit down and look at everything that is here. So that is the first question. How are we going to proceed with this process? Two, can we do and close these terms of reference? Okay, will we need an evidence leader? Honorable Mandela talks about an investigator. I'm saying, will we need an evidence leader? How will that evidence leader collect evidence? Four, can we sit here and say as a committee how many witnesses we want or who are the witnesses we want without having the evidence leader if we agree on the evidence leader? But fifthly, can you exhaust and close the terms of reference and then, you know, it's like in other places, people, they make policy and strategies and everything and then appoint the CEO later. So when the CEO comes in, he has got no input on the strategy of the entity or policy development. Just comes in, works through. Now, I'm just asking, can we close the issue of the terms of reference without, if we go for? I'm not saying, Honorable Mandela talks about an investigating person. I'm used to see what is called a evidence leader. Can we close those terms of reference without that person being also given an opportunity? I'm just raising those things in a broader sense, honorable member, so that we can then deal with this thing. Thirdly, is a point that was raised, if I'm not mistaken, either honorable beginning or Lorim. Shouldn't we have time frame? Because I'm worried to sit here. And so that when we go there, honorable members, I want us to put things concrete to say this is what is going to happen, this is what we're suggesting must be done, and subsequently when this thing is done, the process to be followed is this one that we're suggesting, and then we want to do this work in this fashion. I think I'll be disingenuous also not to say, because other things I received, for instance, I've received some people already, they were saying you are making submission. I don't want to mention one. Received from the deputy speaker, said, no, we've not started with the process, you see. Because my main fear is that we come from different political parties when we are here. I wouldn't want this thing, when we deal with it, it becomes another political game where you say this. So I'm just saying, maybe to save ourselves from that political gimmick that might emerge, somebody must be tasked specifically, will be, I'm just saying, objectively seen to be independent from any influence in handling these things. That will include, if possible, we agree, that will include if something comes in to say, no, you don't know what happened in this transaction. That person must be the one who will analyze and say, no, this one is not relevant. This one. Otherwise, if us sitting here we want to make a determination what will be relevant and what will not be relevant, it may even be another day because our own interpretation may not be. Lastly, whatever decision we take here, we must also understand that we have got a limited capacity. I always say people, they go to court and then when the court makes a literally interpretation of what is written down, we then say, no, politically they don't understand. Our duty is political. The issues that have got legal implications, they will require people who might be professionals or who might be relevant in doing so. So I'm not speaking, I don't want to speak for myself personally, but I wouldn't want a day where there is a feeling that, hey, this chairperson ignored a certain submission or information that was given to him because he holds a specific view. But I'm just leaving it to you now. I'm sorry to put you deeper. Honorable Mandela.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps before we dwell further, there needs to be areas we agree on, honorable members, so that we are able to move forward. The more we are engaging, honorable Chair, there's a necessity to carry out this inquiry. And therefore, we are not going to be able to leave it just to the judicial inquiry that has been instituted by the President on state capture, as well as other investigative mechanisms that are in place as led by the Hawks. But if we are therefore in agreement and we have as a committee agree that we are moving in the direction of having an inquiry, and if we are going to be having an inquiry, we need to be outlining what is that inquiry, what are the issues embedded in it. And I think from just listening from the input of my colleagues, the only issue that is still before us is the issue of Optimum Coal Mine, and Honorable Lorimer has put it more adequately when he says all Glencore assets. Has there been any issues regarding entities or organs of state that pertain to mineral resources? There is none, Honorable Chair. We are not speaking of MINTEC, Council of Geoscience, or any other entities that are under the responsibility of DMR. Therefore, if it is only issues pertaining to Glencore assets, as well as the work carried out by officials within the department that we are going to be looking into, who's sponsoring the questions in terms of the submissions that are to come? Are we opening it up to the public to send their submissions so that we are able to see things that were not privy to us? There might be things out there in the public domain that haven't reached the committee. So if we are opening that up, when is the opening date? When is the closing date for submissions? Those are the issues we ought to be agreeing on. I thought, Chair, we need to get a guidance in terms of a way forward on this matter. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Lorimer.
Mr. Chair, I think you make a very strong argument that we do need an evidence leader, just from the issues that you were bringing up. It clarifies for me that, you know, we do need that kind of expert, neutral, legal advice that would be would come from an evidence leader. So I think maybe that should be the first order of business, is if we can agree on that, then I don't know how one sets in motion appointing one, but that's obviously over to you, I think.
Not that I want the meeting to end early. Honourable Mandela, before?
No, I want to support that, Honourable Chair, that is being raised by Honourable Lorimer. If we are to find an evidence leader,
I think we should deal with that matter as soon as possible, and I think legal services could be able to point us in the right direction in that scope. We should request the Secretary to write to legal services of Parliament to give us a couple of names in terms of who we can be able to utilize as an evidence leader, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Okay, at least we're going somewhere. Not that way. So I was saying, don't want the meeting to be like, I want it to end early. Can we then agree, the point, there's a point that Honorable Mandela is asking, which for me, the limitation of it is that, unfortunately, we have not undertaken that route. That's why I was also asking that question. How do we collect this evidence to be processed? Can I suggest, Honorable Member, one, that we agree we will write to the House Chair, at least by, the problem next week is a public holiday. And unfortunately, that public holiday falls on the date of this committee. We will see what we can do. I know most of 1, 2, 3, they sit in committees, other committees on Tuesdays. Can we do it like this, that we will write to the House Chair, request primarily an evidence leader. Two, when we reconvene, we will look, they already proposed terms of reference. The problem, Honorable Mandela, like I said, when you look at this, it says look for anyone. That's why I said anyone now can say, no, I want to go to that committee and I want to, because it's investigating organs of state, capture on organs of state. The problem is that it is not specifically mentioning which one, so it means the entire department. So unfortunately, it seems that's the route you have to go through. Call it finder if you like, but the fact of the matter is that for now we have not conducted anything in terms of what that letter says. And in the event, you, even if we use the issue of the Glencore Tegeta transaction, it is just what we knew from here and what the department gave us information on. We have not been able to go and say, what else can we get? Which then your point then will then have to kick in. But can we then agree that as soon as, if the committee allows us to do so, we have given broad terms of reference for now, as soon as that process kicks in, when that person is appointed, can honorable members be flexible enough? Honorable Mandela suggests that we get about, I don't want to assume, said about funeral, says, can legal, we will go through the normal procedure, political office, give us three names that we can choose from. But I think he puts a right, or we must put a right, someone who has got a legal background that will deal with this issue. Secondly, we should then come back here to this committee, having that person. I don't know whether you say we must choose or we must come, it must be the committee that will choose the person. I don't know if we are given three. What if we are given one and tell us, like I was saying now, with due respect, we were told that I don't know where, how possible, but we were told that from legal services they are in other committees. It actually means if we take one, it's going to be worse for others to get legal services. If they can't cater for us on one Wednesday, I wonder what will happen when we take another one from there. But we've got no choice. We need this work to be done. Can we then come back here, Honorable Members, make a concrete proposal so that we, on what we think finally should constitute the terms of reference, how evidence will be collected, what will be the time frame? Lastly, what this period must take. For instance, should we have an open-ended period that can take us up to December? or we then say within 90 or 60 days this process will have to be sorted out? What are the implications of that if we take a decision that says 30 days, 60 days or 90 days? It means we must be prepared to sit here and sleep and so forth. But also, shouldn't we agree that in the event this evidence letter is granted, also without even an influence, I would say it even from the chairperson of the committee, he or she must be able to compile a list of witnesses that needs to appear in front of this committee. For us as committee members, our duty will be to field questions in those witnesses. The reason I'm saying so, we don't want tomorrow to say we chose. Yes, I'm sure members are entitled to say when witnesses are brought here to inquire about other information that they know. For instance, if they know that Luzipho has got information, they've got the right to say, because what we shouldn't do, and I'm saying this with extra caution, I know sometimes when you conduct an investigation, already in your mind, you've got someone that you find to be responsible. That is good, nothing wrong. But you may also get witnesses that may not testify in favor of what you are looking for. So that person must, there could be those that will say, no, there's no such a thing, things are going like this. That we must leave it. That will be my argument, Honorable. Leave it entirely on the evidence leader, who will then be able to suggest. Can we agree to that? And then even if we are not meeting next week, we still have to sort out, check what can be done. There's something called, what do you call it, round robin or whatever. We can send you in your emails or whatever who is being suggested and whom we have found. If it needs be, we must have an urgent meeting. We will check whether we can do have that urgent meeting to finalize that issue. Honorable Mandel, and Honorable Pigini.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Member, I think it is very important for us to prioritize this matter. To our friends and uninvited guests, the media, it seems or is portrayed that the committee is dragging on this matter. And I want it to be clear that we are not dragging on this matter. We want this issue attended to with urgency. And this is why, Honorable Chair, I want to ensure that we requested this to be prioritized. And if we have to set aside a week and not attend to other matters of Parliament, then we should make the request to the Speaker's office that we want to book and block a week here in Parliament to attend to this matter.
Okay.
It needs to be concluded for the interest of the public and South Africans at large. And I think the sooner we conclude this matter, the sooner we can get on with other business and matters of the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Lauren. Oh, beginning, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair. You know, Chair, if we can go to our minutes, we spoke about evidence leader, we spoke about these matters, and we agreed, all of us. Now, what we expected now from the last meeting that we had of the 28th was the way forward. When you go back to the chairperson of the House, we'll be able to say what kind of resources are available. You see, that's why I'm keeping quiet, because I don't think we have to always refresh our mandate all the time. Because the mandate was there, so we need really to move now. And I would suggest, honorables, to be able to move with speed, as my colleague is saying. At least we can move up to 60 days in dealing with the matter, probably. We can also meet even on weekends, you know, so that we're able to speed up the situation and finish with this particular matter, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Lauren?
Strongly concur with Honorable Mandela about the need for speed, Mr. Chair.
this. I like what I see here. Hey. Oh, traditional leaders, both of them, one from Israel and one from Umzansi. You see, the first time it was Honorable Lorima, Honorable Mandela strongly agreed with Honorable Lorima. Then it became Honorable Mandela, Honorable Lorima extremely strongly agrees with Honorable Mandela. Okay, without further ado, now, Honorable Beginning, I agree with you. You said that sometimes, like I said before, you know, but we will re-emphasize. We did write to this to the House Chair. We will just re-emphasize that the committee. We would have laughed ourselves when we come here to make a proposal that is concrete, but to make a concrete proposal on the evidence leaders only now. We talked about resources which will include probably a evidence lead. Now we have to take a decision. The committee says it wants an evidence lead. Honorable Mandela says the matter is urgent. If it needs be, we must book a week. So we will take, we'll carry that. But I think the first thing we will have all of us to agree that there is a person, if we are instructed, I'm just making members alert. If we are instructed that, by the way, here is someone who's an evidence leader, we will kick the process. We only have to come back here and tell you that now we are given an evidence leader. What do you do? Do you want to choose your own? We will kickstart that process with the person given to us, if they give us a person. That person, I think we must allow, because I hear what Honorable Mandela says. Remember, like you said, this inquiry is not going to be the same like other inquiries that you have. Public enterprise, although now there are other denial and so forth, public enterprise, mainly they are dealing with ESCOM. And there is something that they are looking, they know what they are looking for from ESCOM. Home affairs, they are specifically dealing with the naturalization of some of the Gupta family members. That's what they are dealing with. So they know what they are dealing with. Transport, they are dealing specifically with issues that arose from PRASA. You, as Mineral Resources, you are dealing with almost everything and anything that could be perceived or defined as state capture in the department, within the department. So it's not going to be an easy thing that we can handle. But that's why I was saying that person might need additional. You can imagine if you take your committee secretary or assistant and then say, go and sit there, look at, if I'm just making an example, if that person also says part of the method of collecting evidence is this one, look at this pile of files and take this one aside, then we'll go through the... That person probably, he or she might require personnel of her own or his own. So we will deal with those logistical issues and then we will brief the committee. But we take note of what you say, Honorable Members. I will put notice, although remember, what are we dealing with after Easter? I like to be... helpful. Okay. No, we will succeed. We will come back. But surely we say at least immediately after Easter we want to kickstart with that process. And we will work on the basis of that. Which means members say, if we listen to what Honorable Beginning, as soon as the evidence leader or whatever is we got, we now want to put a process that will finish within 60 days. And then we will look at the logistics, whether 60 days is reasonable from the time of the meeting that will be finalizing the terms of reference, conferring or confirming with the evidence leader and so forth. We say from that day we give ourselves 60 days to finalize this matter. Is that what we say? Okay, being the case as it may, okay. Can we now go to the minutes? Okay. Page one. Now the secretary confesses, even myself, I didn't notice. Honorable Khaula had exchanged position with Honorable Mandel. When Honorable Mandel was not present, Khaula was present. And when Honorable Mandel was present, Khaula was not present. Page 2. Page 3.
Page 4. Page 5.